joining me in a studio in Basarabi, Future of Work. Ian, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks. It's good to be back. I've had a nice vacation.
Yeah, a series of Tuesdays that have been Jewish holidays.
Yeah.
All right, so today we wanted to, speaking a bit of which, a little bit ironic, but of course we want to talk about burnout. Because my sense is that when you start to talk to people, in fact I wrote an article on it even about Herman Mashaba last week, is one gets the sense that we are tired. We are heading towards December, and I always, when I'm coaching people, I say to them this time of year, try not to make any major decisions. You are tired. Don't confuse needing a holiday with needing to change your life completely. And that's what we wanted to focus on this morning. We'd love your thoughts on 34519 or 061-895-1019. Ian.
So Howard, it's very appropriate as we wrap up October, which was is notably Mental Health Month, and there's been a lot of stuff that's been put out by numerous organizations, one being the World Health Organization, and they have now officially recognized burnout as a clinical syndrome. And yes. And it's basically legitimizes the physical and mental impact that overwork can have on employees, on everyone. And it's not just employees. I think it's becoming more so, not just with people that are doing 9-to-5s. It's everyone. It's entrepreneurs. It's freelancers. Everybody's suffering from it. And Howard, you're 100% correct. As we get to this part of the year, or this time of the year, people tend to confuse their exhaustion on, oh wow, it's been such a long year. And that's not necessarily the case. I think we kind of mask those and we tend to think, well, okay, well, December's around the corner. I'll just give it one last push and then I'm going to be on holiday. And before you know it, you're actually back in January and you still feel exhausted. So the critical thing is about awareness. And that's really what I wanted to speak about today and share with everyone, is that you need to be aware of what your mind and your body is telling you, because you may be feeling something and thinking something totally different. And it's especially now with...
Explain that a little bit. So you mean I might be feeling something?
You might be feeling like this is just... you're thinking, oh well, this will pass, or I'm like got a bit of hay fever because it hasn't rained and all of that stuff. And we tend to like kind of find excuses for the real issue. And because burnout, people don't want to be vulnerable and turn around and say, well, I'm just tired.
What are the symptoms of burnout? Because I do think as well, it's a danger. You know, I think that we spend a lot of our time, especially in this day and age, taking our emotional pulse. And I think whereas it's important to do that, it's also important to establish resilience. So sometimes we do, even if we're tired, have to get up and go and do what we have to do. The problem is that, and I'm a definite candidate for this, is I'll ignore a lot of what's really going on in order to continue pushing to do what I need to do. And then all of a sudden you land up with a bigger symptom or something breaks because you've ignored all the signs along the way. How do you know when those signs are real or not real, because they're always real, but how do you know when to push through them and when to stop and listen to them and say, hold on a minute. I need to take note here.
Well, the first sign is really about energy depletion or exhaustion. Is that when you're physically feeling like you absolutely have no energy to pull yourself out of bed, or you actually feel like you're walking around exhausted. That is the first telltale sign that you're heading for burnout. Another thing is when you actually start feeling a distance from your job or from what you're doing, or you feel very negative, cynical, and related to the work that you're doing. Those are telltale indicators that you're actually reaching that point where you're actually going to result in, no matter how hard you work or how hard you push yourself, you're going to actually reduce your professional ability to perform. So it's a result. Because they've defined it as being chronic. You have to deal with it. You can't just like you've
It also means, though, that it has to have persisted for a while. Absolutely. So if you wake up this morning and you're tired, it doesn't mean you burnt out.
No,
it just means that you shouldn't have watched that that extra episode of Games of Thrones.
But
it's the same thing. And we see it with kids as well. You know, the same thing is that typically if your kid goes to bed after 11 o'clock, after watching the Grand Prix on Sunday night, you know, then Monday's going to be a rough day.
Yeah,
you know, random example.
Exactly.
Not that it happened in my house.
No, obviously not.
But anyway, that's, as you say, a random example. But, like you say, as with any illness, symptoms of burnout change from person to person. So there's typically what they've identified as five stages, which are commonly observed. And the first one is what they call the honeymoon phase. And the honeymoon phase is what we all go through when we undertake a new task. We start experience high job satisfaction where we're committed. We got lots of energy, creativity. It's typically true of a new job or a role, or the beginning of a new business venture. But, you begin in the first phase of this burnout, you actually begin to experience predicted stresses of the job, but not all stress is bad. Because you actually sometimes need that adrenaline rush, and you need that to keep you going. So it's very important to start implementing positive coping strategies during that stage, such as taking practical steps in your job, prioritizing mental health. And how you do that is you've got to take time out. You've got to, like, even though you feel like you can do a 24-hour day, you actually have to build a routine. You have to go for a walk. You've got to spend time. And I think a lot of us that work from home or have jobs which don't have that 9-to-5 discipline, we end up taking our work home, and we never switch off. So there's very little distinguishing. You know, the fact that your phone is on and next to you, and you're sitting in your lounge with your feet up, that doesn't mean you're relaxing. That means
you're
working.
Absolutely right. It's I was having a discussion with some people yesterday in a highly pressured work environment, and we were saying exactly the same thing. And they're not Jewish, but I was saying the fact that I have Shabbat, and that I wake up early, 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I don't pick up my phone. I go and read for a couple of hours, and then I just sit and I think and I contemplate. It's my one of my most creative few hours of the week. It's when my brain somehow realigns and things start to fit into place. And I think it is the most, and I wish I had the discipline. I don't, unfortunately, to do that more during the week. I should be picking, an hour a day to do that. It's very hard for me, but I can see the value of it.
Absolutely, Howard. And funny you should mention that. I was on I do some work for an international company, and we do a lot of, like, calls at all hours of, well, it's everyone's different time zone and that. And somebody, like, mentioned that in South America, they're actually looking, and it must be some link to Spain and the afternoon siestas and all that. And we were laughing about it initially, but there's so much value in it. I was recalling and it's kind of a bit of a nostalgic blast from the past. I don't know if you remember, Howard, how Sundays in Joburg used to be like quiet days. Nothing.
Look,
was
it was open. Torturous for me.
Yeah, no, I think for
me it was torturous.
For most of us,
but
it
yes,
was.
The roads were quiet. No shopping centres were open. No movies. You could do very, very little.
But, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, but indeed it is. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Time is 8:22. We'll be back in just a moment. I would be interested to hear from you. Are you suffering from a burnout this time of year? And what are your mechanisms? Do you have some tricks or some measures that you put in place that help you sustain your energy throughout the year? I'd love you to share them with us, so that we could share it with others. So talking of woke, we're trying to stay woke or awake until December at least, and we're talking about burnout. Are we feeling burnout? Are we suffering? And how do we recognize what the symptoms are of burnout and how to deal with them? Joining me in studio, Ian Bessarabi here, and we're talking the future of work.
So Howard, going back, and we're just chatting off air, that one of the most important things is to take responsibility to maintain your work-life balance. And that is something that We all say it, but we don't do it. And I'm a firm proponent of that in the sense that if you're not enjoying something and you feel like it's becoming a burden, you've got to start asking yourself questions. I've spoken to so many people in the last year where they literally are so caught in a spiral that they literally are not enjoying what they're doing, but they're pushing through. And I've mentioned this in the past, is that we get into this situation where we feel that we're in such a dark place, or we're in such a place that we can't get out of, that this is the only solution, that we actually start to believe that this is the only way. And the important thing, especially with the acknowledgement that burnout is real, and it's not just for people that are weaker or people that just can't take the pressure. You need to seek help, you know, and I think we're very fortunate, not only, in this country that we do have support, but we also do have it in the form of our own community, you know. And I would seriously tell people that if you're feeling stressed, is to reach out, you know, reach out and speak to people, because sometimes just speaking about how you're feeling is amazing. You don't actually need to solve anything. It's just putting it into perspective.
I also want to make another very, very obvious point, and that is sometimes when we're tired, the most obvious solution is sleep. Yes. You know, and I've often found that certainly within our own home environment, where you can see that people are at the limit and you start becoming miserable and depressed and anxious, and then somebody says, well, I'm so tired. And my answer is, well, we've been provided with the most amazing cure. It's curable, being so tired. Go and have a good night's sleep, but it means discipline. It means going to sleep at 9 o'clock and not 11 o'clock after you're watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel's or whatever it is that you're watching at the moment. You've got to get into bed and go to sleep. In fact, I was quite disturbed. I saw on Facebook last night one of our listeners, and somebody that often messages, posted a fairly negative comment, but a worrying comment in terms of what they were feeling, and everybody was saying what's wrong and how can we help and reach out and get help, and later on in the evening her husband came online and said, you know, actually my wife is incredible, she's had a really hard day, it's really hot, she needs a good night's sleep. And I thought that was so important to be able to do, because not everything, now some things might be very serious and there are situations that are serious, but sometimes we actually just need to get some rest.
And that's the thing, our lives have become so complex, or we make our lives complex, and we tend to overanalyze a situation. And by overanalyzing it, it's exactly what you're saying, Howard, is we then go and look for alternatives. One thing is that people will think, maybe if I just take more supplements, or maybe if I just take another cup of coffee and that I'm going to get it back. The reality is at some point your body will tell you it's enough. And that's the day, God forbid, that you wake up and you can't get out of bed. And that's when you've hit that point, and you don't want to get to a point where you're depressed and you're anxious and you actually can't do the stuff you want to do. And I think that for me is something in our society and our community that we are becoming, it's becoming a contagion, is that we all just walk around in limbo thinking that things are going to come right by themselves, but we have to take action. And I think your point about sometimes just turning off.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. Yeah. I think it's a couple of things. It's sleep.
Yeah.
It's sleep hygiene. It's healthier eating, and it's exercise.
Yeah.
And you know, those are the ways that we know our bodies recalibrate.
And it's environment as well. I think environment is such an important thing, and that's why, you know, we can always draw comparisons or similarities, but it's amazing how some people gravitate, and you spoke about Shabbat and the weekend and that, how people gravitate and look forward to going to shul on a Shabbos because it's a different environment. Or you go to somebody for a Shabbos lunch, or you go to people. It doesn't necessarily have to be around that. It could be just going and sitting in a park, or sitting in your garden, or sitting somewhere different from where you typically sit and do your work. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to just sit and stare blankly. You can pick up a book, you can do something, but just stimulate your mind with other things.
Absolutely, absolutely right. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. In fact, it's one of our funnier things. As many, many years ago, probably about 15 or 20 years ago, my wife and I had traveled overseas to Israel, and it'd been a difficult day, and, you know, the travel and the kids, and we were absolutely exhausted. And it was the evening, we had just settled in, and there was something massive bothering my wife, and it was clearly going to be this huge blow up. And I said to her, I promise you, we'll talk about this tomorrow. I'm not avoiding the conversation. We'll have this fight, whatever this fight is. We will go there. But let's get a good night's sleep. You just get a good night's sleep, and I promise you we'll pick this up in the morning. And eventually she agreed to that. And when she woke up in the morning, and to this day, she has no recollection of what she was so angry with me about. And it actually kills her, because she's convinced that I remember, and I swear to you, I don't. Time is 8:35. Apologies on news.